it's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
I'm really glad you're listening to episode 291 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast, because this week features the return of Jay Ferber, one of my very favorite comics creators and writers, who does not only television, but comics as well. And he does an excellent job in both areas. He's got a comic coming out on August 2nd that I'm sure you're going to want to get, called Elsewhere. And it features a famous historical character that we'll discuss, and the amazing timing the release of this book has to do with real-life events. Great stuff, great stuff. And of course, we delve into other things that he's got going, including the TV show he's working on called Zoo and where that stands right now. He's got a lot of wonderful things to say, so I'm sure you're going to want to listen. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get to it. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Jay Ferber, creator of many good things, including Copperhead, Antihero, Near Death, Venture. I could go on and on, Jay, but you have done a lot of things that I have really enjoyed, and it's great to talk with you again.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to talk to you, too. It's great to be here.
First thing I want to do is update something we talked about the last time, which was a couple years back. One of the things I first exposure to you was the book called Venture, which I really loved. Yes. And at that time, you told me there was a possibility a company was going to print Venture again. So I bought,
right.
I went to a store and begged them to please order them for me. I wanted to make sure they had them. I got issues 1, 2, and 3. And the week that 4 came out, I went to that same store. And they said, oh, man, we got too many people ordering Marvels. We can't order little books like
that.
And I told them, you know, good, I've gotten the first 3. I said, where am I supposed to get 4? And so what I ended up doing, I told them this. You realize, of course, you're sending me to another store. Well, we've got enough Marvel people. That'll more than make up for you, he went. And so I went to a different store, got number 4, and the trade, too. I got that at the other store,
good.
Thankfully, and I was so happy to have, because, you know, I love that book, as I told you last
great.
Time.
Well, thank you.
I'd still like to see more of Venture, but I'm happy to have the nice trade collection of it, as well as the individual issues, so I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, I'm happy to have the trade, too. I'm glad that we put that out. That was all down to my great partner, Jamal Eigel, put that all together with Action Lab.
So good. So unique. And one of the things I always like to tell you about your writing is the fact that it's stuff that I have not read anywhere else. And I've been reading comics for a long time.
Thank you.
The stuff you do is very original and creative to me. And I always like, even with superheroes, and I'm just convinced that some people think superheroes are a dead genre because we've done everything we can possibly do. But you still come up with some wonderful stuff when it comes to superheroes, like Antihero, which is still one of my very favorites to this day.
I love that author.
That was such a great book. But we're here to talk about a new comic that you have coming out from Image called Elsewhere.
Yes.
And why don't you talk a little bit about what the book is about and give us like a TV guide version of it?
Sure. Elsewhere, which comes out on August 2nd, is the story of what really happened to Amelia Earhart. And in our book, we discovered that Amelia has found herself transported to this strange fantasy world full of strange creatures and civilizations, and all she wants to do is find her way home back to Earth and reunite with her navigator Fred Noonan, who disappeared with her but is kind of a footnote in the whole story. But so she wants to find if Fred is somewhere else in this strange land, and then together hopefully they can find their way back to Earth. So it's a high-flying adventure story with a element of truth to it, with centered on these real people, Amelia and Fred.
Now, I have to tell you, sometimes it's good to be lucky as opposed to good, and then sometimes it's better to be good than lucky. But this is a case where you're actually being not only good but lucky at the same time. There was a news story that came out a couple of weeks ago. While I was reading this book, all of a sudden on the news story comes this photograph they're talking about that has come along that has a picture of Amelia Earhart in it. Did you hear that story?
I did. It's incredible. We were really in the right place at the right time with all that promotion.
All I could do is say, did you plan that? Did Image put that photograph out? How did you guys
Image
do
Image is pretty incredible, but even they couldn't pull that off.
That was just astounding to me. And I'm sitting reading the book, and I look over and I go, it's in the news? How did you do that?
Yeah, we were astonished as well.
So are you somebody who's studied her history and things like that as far as Ms. Earhart goes?
To a degree. I mean, I'm not a fluent in her story. I've always been fascinated with her just in terms of other true life mysteries. It's very appealing to me just as a storyteller because it leaves so much to the imagination of what could have happened to her. And so when we decided to do this book, of course, I did some more intensive research. But I'm still I'm nowhere near an expert on her story or her history.
Well, on several levels, this appeals to me because you're right. The mystery of it is so engaging. You just wonder what happened to this woman. Because in the time that this took place, you know, to have a woman that was a pilot doing this kind of stuff was just way out in left field. You know, nobody could understand.
Yeah.
How could a woman possibly do any of this kind of stuff? And so that when she disappeared, you know, there was a lot of folks who said, well, that just proves she shouldn't have tried to do this, which I, of course, said, no, that meant that other women should have gone out looking for her is what should have happened.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I got a huge kick out of this comic because you do a very good job. Now, of course, I'm not a big Earhart person either, but you make her very believable is the thing that I really like about her character.
Mm.
You know, she is a go-getter. She's a kind of a person. She loves flying and anything to do with something in the air. She's not a wallflower in any way, and that's the person we need in this book, which is really great. I love the way you do it. And, of course, I am so huge on leading women who are not necessarily maternal in nature, which is what a lot of people like. So, I mean, as far as putting her in this comic, did you make her the more the adventurer and less the mom kind of character that some people kind of expect women have to be when they're in the lead role?
I think in this instance, I just followed who she really was. She was married, but she had no children, and she was a very atypical woman of that time. Just today, I think yesterday, I came across somebody on Twitter had posted a letter that Amelia wrote to maybe a newspaper publisher or something, complaining that they were referring to her as Mrs. Putnam. That was her husband's last name, and she preferred to be referred to by Earhart, which was her professional name as someone in the public eye, and that was just very unusual at that time for a woman to take that stand. So in terms of making her less maternal and more of a kind of a go-getter and less of a traditional woman of that time, I just took my cues from the real woman, honestly, and just wrote her as I believed she was.
Because, wow, that is like decades ahead of her time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hear this stuff and I hear you talking about all these things because I knew when I was back in college a couple of decades back and there was a friend of a friend who was getting married and she wanted to go by her last name or her family's name. She didn't want to take the husband. And I remember thinking, gosh, that's so unusual. But, you know, here she was doing a spot in the 40s?
When did
So this was
30,
quite,
even. Yeah.
This is something just – see, that makes this all the more engaging to me. It makes her so much more interesting as a character because, you know, now we would probably think, oh, well, that's normal. But for that time, that was really, really unusual. So, wow.
Yeah, she's inspiring. The more I learn about her, the more interesting she is.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I've got to ask, why call the book Elsewhere?
You know, it's just a name that, to me, it was very evocative of just sort of a grand place. And I mean, we never use the term in the book itself. It's just the title for the series. But I don't know. I just it just sort of struck a chord with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know where exactly it came from.
Cool. Well, you know, hey, I like any good title like that that makes it evokes more than just the subject matter. If you call it Earhart, then right. people might just expect it's only going to be about Earhart. But right off right. the bat, we are taken to a different place, and right away we meet two characters who are going to be apparently going to be friends of hers as things go along. And yes. do you want to talk about those two characters? Because they, as endearing as she is for not being, you know, for being a stand on her own type of female, these two guys are not nearly that way. One thing I really like about them is they kind of are a contrast to her. Who are these two guys that she meets?
Yeah, she meets two guys who are escaping from a fortress of a domineering and overlord named Lord Cragen. And these two guys are Court and Tavel. And they discover Amelia. They're the first people she comes in contact with. People, I use that term loosely. I mean, they're humanoid, but they are very different. They're fur covered and have strange markings. And Court is a little more of a heroic type. And Tavel is much more kind of cowardly and self-interested. And Court wants to try to help Amelia. Tavel thinks that why would they risk their lives for this strange woman? But they are going to be in the book for the long haul. They're kind of her first, you know, she latches on to them because of the first people that she meets in this strange world.
Well, of course. You know, she's going to want to have anchors in this place, which is unusual. See, as I talked about the fact that Amelia Earhart is different on some levels. These two guys are different too. These are not superheroes, you know, right. which I really like about that, because usually male characters in comics tend to be Superman or Batman or something along those lines, and these guys are not. And that's what makes the trio of them are really fun to watch them interact. Was that something that you enjoyed doing, was writing how they interacted?
Yeah, yeah, they're a lot of fun. I mean, it is, as I said, Court is a little more heroic and brave, and Tavel is particularly fun just because he's so not. And every time that Amelia wants to go confront something head on, Tavel's immediately wants to do the opposite, and since that it's foolhardy to try that. So yeah, writing them is fun just to watch these different personalities play off each other.
And then they come across what they call steeds. And there's a wonderful line that Amelia says to them at one point. Says, "You're asking me if I'm comfortable flying," she goes.
Yes.
And there's this wonderful page that comes after that to let you know, yes, she is comfortable flying. And she's flying on these things. They're sort of dragon-like. And the fun thing is you can tell just by her face how much she enjoys doing this.
Yes, yes. And that is all credit to my partner, Soumaye Keskin, who's a remarkable artist and has really helped me bring Amelia to life and her artwork and what she can capture, especially with Amelia. I mean, not only are Soumaye's landscapes and stuff breathtaking, but Amelia, she's able to make her recognizable and consistent, but it never looks photo referenced.
Right.
It's never that. I mean, too many comics that are based on actors or real people, they tend to, it's very easy for them to look stiff and wooden because everything's photo referenced. And I don't believe that's how Soumaye approaches it. But it's much more organic and lifelike. And it's just wonderful. She created the book with me, and you know, the book is, I think, so enjoyable in large part because of her.
Because, you know, I've seen like Star Trek books that people say are traced, and
right.
it doesn't feel natural when those things, when they move or their head is a certain angle, it doesn't yep. seem natural. But with her, I never questioned that it wasn't her, and it never yeah. felt unnatural, no matter what she's doing. If she's calling out to someone, if she's standing looking at something, it all feels very natural the way that she moves.
Yes.
And that's a real accomplishment, I have to say, especially somebody that whose image is something we recognize.
Yes, indeed. I totally agree.
It's just terrific stuff. And of course, as we go along, now she's in a different setting, and she's going to have to figure out, along with these two guys, what to do. And it's so much fun to watch her. You know, she's in her element. You know, this is kind of like, you know, she's a daring person who wanted to go around the world in her airplane, and now she's in a totally different world where she's having to learn different things. But she's not cowed by any of this or surprised by any of it. In fact, she finds it a wonderful challenge when she discovers that the person in the plane with her is not with her. Her first reaction is not to go, oh no, what are we going to do? His first reaction is to say, we have to rescue him.
Yeah.
Which I loved. I mean, that's, see, the great thing about her character, I really think that you've captured her essence. Not only is the visual strong, but I think her personality from what I've read of her, and like you said, we're not ideal in this. There are probably people who are historically better accurate at this.
Sure. Yeah.
I just grew to really like her as a lead character, and I wish more comics had lead females like her, because it's so enjoyable.
She's pretty great. She seems like a great person.
I loved the whole thing of it, and I loved the fact that, and she, that doesn't mean that she's always, you know, a woman who isn't emotional at times. There's this wonderful sequence where the steed that she has actually flown, they kind of bind by that kind of thing, that the fact that she's showing her emotion. And they remark in the fact that it's very unusual for a steed to do that. And I think that's a really great way to introduce us to who she is in this first issue. I like that whole business about that. Where'd the idea come from that? Is she good with animals in your research? How did you decide to do that?
That was something that I just invented. I wanted her to have – I just thought it would be a cool visual for her to have a flying creature. And I just thought it was – in order to help sell the idea that she's a natural pilot, the logical extension of that would be that she naturally develops a bond with these steeds, or with this particular steed. The idea being that over time, these steeds would develop a bond with whoever rode them, but it takes a long time. But with Amelia, that bond is almost instant. It's within a few minutes because she's such a natural in the air. And it was just a way to demonstrate just what a unique person she is.
And of course, you answer the mystery as to what happened to the plane in this book as well, which is great to see. You know, there's so many good things. Now, of course, the person she's flying with, we haven't seen that person, at least so far into the book, as I want to talk about. I don't want to spoil anything. But
yes,
there are mysteries yet to be unfolded as we go along, and I like that. I'm glad you didn't throw all the cards down on the table on the first deck of the play of the cards. You spread it out so we're interested.
Yeah, there's places to go. And you know, it's a book. The danger with doing a book like this where her goal is to get home is that if you really think about it, if she makes it home, the book is over. You know, that's the risk you run. Mm-hmm. It's like Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to get off the island because then the show's over. But in giving her this intermediate goal of finding Fred, who is somewhere presumably in this strange world, it gives her a goal that can drive the book for a while. And even if she finds him, the book's not over. There's still places to go. So it's kind of a two-step mission for her, two goals that she has. She wants to get home, but she's not going to get home until she finds Fred, because he's her friend and she feels responsible for what happened to him.
Then you have a real surprise at the end of the book. This, the last page I just love.
Be careful.
Oh, I'm not going to spoil it.
All right, thank you.
Was shocked when I got to the last page, and I want everybody else who gets to read it to be shocked, because I was like, what? You know, it's one of those things when I look at it and I go, huh? How did that happen kind of stuff? So, again, you're showing us that there are mysteries to be unfolded yet in this book.
Yes.
And I'm not sure even she's going to unfold a lot of this. But
there's stuff that will mean more to the reader than it will mean to her. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's a good thing. See, as we watch, we want to understand what's going on. To her, it's probably not going to be that big of a deal, but you never know. There could be things that come along, and this will be an important development.
Absolutely.
Now, that leads me to the next thing. How many issues are in Elsewhere at this point?
It's open-ended. We're committed to doing at least a year. We have a 12-issue arc in mind. And then, you know, if the readership is healthy and we're having fun, we'll do more. Okay. If not, you'll get a nice 12-issue run out of it.
Have you guys ever like approached any kind of Amelia Earhart societies and kind of let them see the book and get their reaction?
We were actually approached by a group of people who were doing an Amelia Earhart documentary called Chasing Earhart. Mm-hmm. And they're based here in Southern California and came to my office one day and interviewed me for it. It's a documentary film that's going to come out at some point. They're still wrapping it up. I don't know where or when it will be out, but they were very fascinated by this. That Amelia Earhart's going to be featured in comics because they're covering her throughout her life and her history and how she's appeared in movies and books and television and comics is one more place that they wanted to explore. So we had a nice chat about that.
Cool. It would be fun if that would be a great way to publicize the book is to have it in a little documentary and say, you know, here's the comic that's coming out that's moving her into a whole new genre.
Yeah, indeed.
Stuff. So really good stuff. So this is an ongoing series, which is great to know. And issue one, of course, is coming soon as this is being released. So I want to make sure that they get that. So are these going to be, because Image, sometimes you get a couple of issues and then there's like a breather. Or is this planned to go all 12 months in a row? How you guys plan to do
that? There will be a breather in between. We'll do 4 issues, then a month off, then a trade collecting those 4, then a month off, then another 4 issues. So we build in a little bit of a gap just so that we can hit those dates. But the good news is that we've already finished the first arc. Oh. The first 4 issues are already drawn as I say this. And we're at work on the next arc now. So we've got a nice lead time. So I'm confident that when the book is solicited, it will come out.
Now, how did you get to work with Ms. Kesgen about that? Because I'm did Image kind of set that up? Did you pick her up?
No, I picked her out. I found her online and was just really taken with her artwork. And we had originally pitched Image a different book that was just a kind of a very grounded, straight crime book that we both loved. But Eric Stevenson had said, you know, this is cool, but it's you know, I'd love to see you guys do something different that put a new spin on something. And so we, Soumaye did some sketches of various just things that were knocking around in her head. And one of the things she did was some sketches of this world of these big pieces of land that are kind of anchored to the ground. They kind of float in the air. And that struck a chord with me. And I just kind of had this idea of a fantasy land where Amelia Earhart was, and we spitballed that a little bit and came up with a pitch, and Image was immediately excited about it, and here we are.
Well, because I don't know, because you've worked with a variety of artists in your time. I mean, as far as working with a woman artist about a woman character, was that something different? Or, I mean, was it pretty much the same as how you've done things in the past?
Yeah, no, it's totally the same. I mean, she's a professional artist, and I've written female characters before, so that wasn't an issue. The biggest thing I think is that she's from Turkey, so English is not her native language. So there's a couple bumps in the road sometimes where I'll explain something to her and she won't quite grasp it, or she'll be trying to communicate something to me that will take a little extra time for us to communicate clearly, but. Those are few and far between, and she's just a fantastic artist and partner. And I should mention the rest of our team. We have Ron Riley coloring the book, and Ron I've worked with for years and years, all the way back to Dynamo 5 and Near Death and Copperhead. And the letterer and designer is a guy named Thomas Maurer, who I met on Copperhead. We hired him for Copperhead, and he's just been tremendous.
I was going to say about the colors. I really love the colors. It's kind of a little more subdued color. There's no real bright sunshine that we see much. And so it's a little darker of a universe, which kind of gives us a feel as to what this universe is like. You know, the color.
We do, although it is dark, but also that first issue takes place pretty much at night. So we will see in subsequent issues a different color palette depending on the time of day.
Okay, really, really cool. The first issue really just floored me. I really loved it so much because I thought, there's so many different characters and so many different people we can relate to and different places that even if it's slightly different, like you're talking about the landscape can be different at times, we still get to see that. And it's actually more of a wonder to see those kinds of things than something that throws us off.
Yeah.
I like that so much. I thought it was terrific how all these elements came together.
Thank you.
So it's just a great issue. So the next 3 months after the first issue are going to be right on schedule. So looking forward to that. And then you get into the second arc after the trade is out. So that's good to know.
Yes.
See, a book like this, I think, can really take off. And because you've got a very unique take on things and a unique mix of characters, I think that this is going to be something that a lot of people really want to read.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're right.
I think so. So, okay, Elsewhere is underway, and as I talked with you in the past, you have other irons in the fire. I really enjoy Copperhead. I always have since you started with it. Where is Copperhead at this point? And we should get into all your other stuff if we can.
Yeah, Copperhead, we are in the middle. Let's see. We had an unfortunate hiatus, and then we came back with a new interior artist. A guy named Drew Moss is drawing the book now. My co-creator and partner, Scott Godleski, is still doing covers and is kind of the godfather of the book. You know, we consult with him on ideas and stuff. But Drew is doing the interior artwork, and we are, I think we're 3 issues into Drew's run at this point. I get a little confused about, because we're so far ahead on Copperhead at this point. I get a little lost about what's been published so far, but I think we did 4 issues. We did his first arc is done. That's right. We did all 4 issues.
Okay.
So 11, 12, 13, 14. And then the trade will be out in August, our third trade paperback, which will be Drew's first arc. And then in October, the next arc starts, issue 15.
Cool. Was it tough to change artists because the other guy had been so intricate into the Copperhead mythology?
It was a tough decision to make. We had thought for a while that Scott would be able to come back to the book, but he just had too many other commitments and opportunities that he wanted to explore. So we made the kind of painful decision to go ahead with Drew. But he's really fit in great. He's a great guy and a great artist, and his stuff is very much his own, but it's in the same kind of zip code as Scott's. So it's not completely different artistically. He's fit in really well, and I'm really happy to have him on the book.
I do love his art. His art is great stuff too. So I think he was an ideal choice, honestly. I mean, if you could have, you know, there's always a number of people you could choose from, but I think he was probably the most compatible choice to the
crew. And he was the first guy we asked, and he was available, and it's worked out really well.
Really cool, really cool. Now, we should point out too that this is another book with a strong female lead in it, which is again another thing that just draws me to it. Apparently there's a pattern developing here about you and strong female leads, which is a great one. I mean, I think we need more of that instead of less, you know, because as I said before, a lot of people want women to be maternal leads, you know,
right.
The mother that people go to talk with when there's a problem. And the lady in charge of Copperhead is not that lady.
They're two books with female leads, but they're very different. They have a lot of differences. I mean, obviously Clara is completely fictional. So I've been able to do more with her in that sense, but I think she's a much more flawed character than Amelia is. Amelia seems to be a great person. And Clara has a lot of, personal faults and demons. She's petty. She's arrogant. She's a bit prejudiced. But yet she's still a hero. She's just a very flawed hero. And that's all very fun to play with because people, as you said, are expect that a little bit less from a woman, I think, than they generally would.
Because women are much more intelligent. They're much more sympathetic, that kind of stuff. To find somebody who's not that things, I'm sure that's challenging to some readers because that's what they
could
expect.
Could be. Yeah. But I think, I mean, in the comic books community today, I think there's a lot a lot of creators who are doing well by giving us multi-layered, multi-dimensional characters of every ethnicity and gender and sexual identity. I think it's a great time there's always room for more of that, for greater diversity, but I think we're making great strides.
And that's even with aliens and stuff, too.
Yes, so, indeed.
Which is a great book. Now, of course, we've talked about two of your books. Are there other projects you're working on that we should be aware of?
I mean, I guess there's two more. There's another comic book called Near Death that it was an ongoing series in Image for a while, mm-hmm. and then we wrapped it up, but Simone, the artist, and I were just too in love with the character and our collaboration, so we're doing more. We're doing another story arc that I think we're going to release just is going to go straight to trade. It's just going to be a graphic novel. Yeah. I'm done writing it. Simone's coming down the home stretch drawing it, but it's the kind of thing that we're not going to really solicit or formally announce until it's totally done. But hopefully that'll be out, I would guess, probably like early 2018 at this point. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also a writer and co-producer on a CBS television show called Zoo that we are currently in the third season of.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, because the last time I talked with you, you were involved in a TV show too.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
Wow, so you got your feet in both worlds, you know.
Yep, yes, I'm juggling many things.
Does it, as far as like doing the differences, is it fun to vary them, or is there one you prefer over the other?
No, it's very fun to be able to do both, just because there's similarities in television and comics, just in terms of they're both very visual mediums, so you're writing visually, as opposed to writing prose, I suppose. But they're very different in terms of in comics, you know, you're collaborating with three people, four people, maybe sometimes less, to bring a story and a series to life. Whereas television, you're collaborating with dozens and dozens of departments and crew and actors and executives and animators. And it's a much bigger process, which at times is thrilling and incredible with what can be done. And at times is maddening because there's so much red tape and it's just a very different beast. But I really enjoy both. I'm very lucky.
Of course, I have to ask you, if CBS came to you and said, you know, we really like this Elsewhere book that you do, would you think about turning that into a television miniseries or something like that? What would your response be?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it would be a matter of just where the right home for it would be. I don't think it's really a CBS show, but we've already just in the announcement of the book, there've already been some interest from various production companies and stuff.
Really?
So we haven't signed anything yet, but there's people interested. So we'll see where that leads us.
Cool. I think that's kind of a neat thing, because your writing is strong when it comes to characterization and also with propelling the plot along. Because sometimes when character people make the dialogue is so intense, it's hard to read it or keep up with it. But with yours, your dialogue moves the story along real nicely, and it never feels like it's slowing things down. It always feels like things are moving at a good clip. So I can see why TV might be interested in this.
Thank you. Yeah.
It'd be fun. Oh, I'd love to see that.
We'll see.
That same group of Amelia Earhart folks might be interested in it, too.
They might be, yeah.
They could take commercials out and promote themselves and things like that. It'd be fun. So these are the things that are keeping you busy these days. What about, like, Anti-Hero? Have we seen the last of Anti-Hero?
Unfortunately, we have, yeah. I mean, who knows what'll happen down the road. But yeah, that Nate Stockman, the artist and co-creator of that book, is plenty busy at Marvel right now. And so I'm super happy to see him finally get some recognition, because Anti-Hero, we had a lot of fun with it, but it was really a kind of a niche book. Most people have not heard of it. But you can buy all the issues on Comixology digitally, or we have a nice, beautiful trade that you can get through IDW.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that had come out in trade. I'll have to get that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a really nice package.
I love that, because that was a very, again, you know, when Venture, you had the superheroic thing, and with this one, Anti-Hero, you also had a very unique take on superheroes. And I hate to even spoil it, because it's so interesting when you start to get into it. It really grips you when you go into it. So, I'm glad you're getting to do these non-superheroic things, but you still have a lot to bring to the table when it comes to superheroes, seems to me.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks. It's something I don't have any plans to dip back into superheroes at the moment, but it's, I still love the genre for sure.
Well, you know, create your own stuff. For somebody like you who's been done a lot of different things, I'm sure it's real appealing to be able to do something that is kind of the product of your own imagination and maybe your co-creators.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's doing create your own comics, especially at Image, where you have absolute creative control, is there's nothing like it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are there stories that you still have in mind that haven't come yet that you might give us a hint about that you're going to do in the future?
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is yes. There's always, I'm not one of these guys who has a single idea that I want to focus on. I'm always juggling various ideas, and it's just a matter of how much time do I have. There is a crime book that I still want to do. That I'm it looks like I'm going to do it probably later this fall with a new publisher, new to me at least. They are an existing publisher, but as somebody I have not worked with before, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. It'll be a very different approach for me, but I can't really get into specifics yet.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. When the time comes, we'll have to talk again so we can follow up on that good thing when we find
absolutely
out.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're working with Image, and now you've got somebody new to work with.
Uh-huh.
Do you like to shop ideas around to different places? I mean, Image is probably the comfy parrot ruse for you, but if you want, they don't necessarily want something, you can take something to somewhere else, especially these days. There's a lot of publishers that are out there.
Right, yeah. Image is always sort of my default. I mean, I feel like they're my family. I've been friends with a lot of those guys forever. Eric Stevenson was a groomsman at my wedding. We're very close with those guys. But there are times where a book might not be right for them. Mm-hmm. I like having the option to take it elsewhere if that's what's appropriate. But it's really hard to beat the Image deal and what they bring, just in terms of exposure and the great people they have working there. It's a pretty great place.
And there's some stores that are like sold on Image. There's this one store that I go to, and Image is, when you walk in the door, that's what you see. DC and Marvel is off to the side someplace. It's all the Image stuff right up. And they're an Image store, basically. They love to push Image. And so, there's some of those around. And I think that's good because, you know, variety in the industry is something that we really need. So I'm not against it in any way. I think that's good.
Do you feel comfortable saying the store's name?
It's a part of a chain. It's one of them. It's called Coliseum of Comics. It's located in Kissimmee, Maryland. Florida. And they have Image stuff everywhere. Anybody can talk about all the Image books, you know.
Yeah. Phil Boyle?
Yes, that's exactly who owns the chain. Yep, he's not, you don't see him very much anymore at the store.
Sure, sure.
But this one is the Kissimmee one that is the one I see the most. And other parts in there, you'll go into the store and you'll see whole bunches of other stuff. But when you walk in the door of that one, you pretty much see Image right away.
That's great. The Kissimmee one. Love to hear that.
So, hopefully your book will be right up there in the front in the next couple of weeks. That would be fun.
Cross my fingers, yeah.
That'd be great. Well, Jay, you're doing wonderful stuff. I hope. And when is Zoo on CBS?
Zoo is on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Okay, third season, you said?
We're in the third season right now, yes.
Any chance for a fourth?
We hope so. We don't know yet. We just started, this is only our third episode this season, they haven't made that decision yet.
Okay, well, here's hoping, because
thank you.
As much storytelling as we can get out of you, I want to be able to get all that good stuff. So you do great stuff, Jay. I think it's wonderful that you can do it. I hope you continue that for a long time to come, and I get to enjoy your storytelling, because it's great stuff, great characters, great pacing, wonderful adventure, and things like that. And I never know what you're going to do elsewhere's last page proves. I have no idea what you're going to do, and I love that in a comic. So
thank you.
Keep it up, Jay. I think you're doing terrific.
I certainly will try. Thanks again.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Yeah.
that's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another interview with a great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.